Next, 157.
House Bill 157 is introduced by Representative Blevins.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to tourism.
Representative Blevins.
Mr. Majority Leader, I move
Mike.
This bill.
Mike.
Talk louder.
Okay.
Mr. Majority Leader, I move House Bill 157 and ask for your favorable consideration. House Bill 57 is an attempt to raise money without a burden to our citizens. What it is the creation of a Wyoming rewards card that we would target to the tourists that come to our state to view our mountains, to hike our trails, and to watch our wildlife. The purchaser of the card would use the card at participating merchants for discounts, and that way we would involve our citizens in promoting our natural resource of wildlife and help raise funds to support the game and fish and the parks and recreation. Participating merchants displaying the Wyoming awards card welcome here decal and would pay no premium to participate. Merchants would establish the award, and participation is intended to attract business. The Wyoming reward cards would be distributed through the tourist division, parks and recreation, game and fish, and other tourist contact points throughout the state. The cards, we would set the price of the cards, but if we set them at $10 a card, if we can capture one-third of the 3 million people that come through our part of northwest Wyoming, that could be a good sum of money. The proceeds from the sale of the card would support the maintenance of our Wyoming's wildlife and our travel division and our parks and recreation. The merchant decals in the windows.
Time. Does anyone wish to speak in opposition? Representative Mader.
Majority floor leader, I don't remember the state that tried this, and they went through all the hoops to get this done and collected in a whole sum total of about $2,000. The reality of the situation is consumptive use pays for wildlife way better than non-consumptive. I know of no case, and I've been involved with wildlife issues for a number of years, in which non-consumptive use ever turned much of a profit to any state as far as an awards card. Thank you.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. More of a question than anything else. Is this designed to be self-sufficient? There's an appropriation with this, and I would think a program like this needs to be self-sufficient and not use general funds.
Yes, it is designed to be self-sufficient.
Senator Blevins, 30 seconds.
It is designed to be self-sufficient, and all the proceeds would actually pay for the program, and we would have an appropriation with the bill that we would reimburse. I think the information from the gentleman from Gillette is germane to our discussion, and it may be worth a try. It is really marketing, marketing, marketing. If we don't market this state, of course it won't happen.
Time. So, Chief Clerk, call a roll.
Baker. Baker.
Excused.
Baker excused. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Here.
Campbell.
Here or
on. Kennedy.
No.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Feiler.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery. Goggles.
Aye.
Greer. Greer. Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker. Croker. Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
Mater.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup. Northrup. Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Simlek.
No.
Summers. Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Excused.
Mr. Speaker, excused. Greer.
Excused.
Greer, excused. Croker.
No.
Northrup.
Excused.
Northrup, excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Baker? Campbell, aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Winters, aye to no. Are there any? Gay, aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 46 aye, 11 no, 3 excused.
House Bill 157 is passed introduction and is assigned to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 176.
House Bill Number 176 is introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to vacancies in office.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 176 addresses vacancies in office, and primarily what happens when we lose a state elected official. Currently, the State Central Committee of the political party gets to submit 3 names to the governor for his selection. We saw this process most recently happen after the state treasurer death in 2011. Here's my overall concern, and it's philosophical, but my state central committee is made up of 3 people from each county who forward 3 names, but I don't feel this process represents the voters of Wyoming, and it violates the concept of one man, one vote. The 3 representatives from my county represent approximately 31,500 people each, where our least populated county represents 819 each. And each of these 3 state central committee members have the same voting power in selecting the 3 names. I don't think central committees are the best source of selecting these names for the executive branch. As you'll see in the bill, I believe that authority is better served by the legislature. Should a death, impeachment, or vacancy occur in an office for any reason, the management council can set up a process where the 60 of us, or the 30 senators, or the 90 of us collectively can select those 3 names for the governor to choose. We are an elected body which collectively represents the will of all of the people in Wyoming. I don't believe at this time in our history that my state central committee can be counted on at all times to select 3 qualified candidates should a vacancy occur. I, however, trust all of us to rise above the politics currently in our state and submit 3 names for a state officer or a U.S. senator, and would ask your favorable consideration for changing this process to be more representative of the people of Wyoming.
Chairman Harvey, 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I guess I'm more concerned about the logistic of this. Would this require a special session? Could we do it by an email vote? How does this come about? I mean, it's easy if we're in session when a vacancy occurs, but when we're not in session, then what are the logistics? How can that happen?
Does anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Representative Winters, 1 minute.
Mr. Speaker, and another question would arise as well. Would we have people of the opposite party voting voting in this election? There are logistics here that just sound a little bit difficult.
Representative Zwanzer, 30 seconds.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. The last question, the nominees would still have to be of the political party represented at the time of the vacancy in office occurs. So, yes, we'd have people vote, but the nominees would all have to be from that political party. This other question, we would have a process set up by management council where we would probably get called in for one day, just like a state central committee does, where the 60 of us would get to interview all the candidates and have a round-robin-type process at the discretion of how management council set up to do it. And so I don't foresee that to be any more problematic than the current process.
Chief Clerk, will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman. Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Filer.
Freeman. Gay. Gingery. Goggles.
Aye.
Greer. Excused. Green.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Hutchings. Hutchings. Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Yes.
Madden. Madden.
No.
Mater.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup. Northrup excused. Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Semlick.
No.
Summers.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker, excused. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker, aye. Mr. Speaker, would you clarify your vote?
Aye.
Thank you. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 20 aye, 38 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 176 has failed introduction. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 159.
House Bill 159 is introduced by Representative Throne.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Department of Workforce Services.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Today I bring you a slight modification to a workplace safety grant program that this body enacted 2 years ago. We received some reports in our labor committee concerning the grants that had been awarded and the matches. Under current law, a recipient can get up to $10,000 and only has to contribute $1,000, up to 10%. Of the grant. The problem is that some of the folks who've come into the program, based on the reports we received, had some pretty nasty safety violations and penalties, and I'm talking serious violations, not record keeping. And so, in effect, they got a grant which had the backdoor effect of waiving their penalty, and certainly was not what I intended when we passed this 2 years ago. So all the bill does primarily is require that for those folks who have recently had a serious citation with a penalty, that their match to get the state money has to be increased. And I would appreciate your favorable consideration.
Does anyone wish to speak in opposition? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Barlow. Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer. Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer excused. Green.
Aye.
Halverson. Harshman. Harshman. Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic. Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Mater.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup. Excused. Patton. Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
I'm about... Harshman?
No.
No? I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Walters? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? Harshman, would you confirm your vote for me, please? Okay. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 159 has passed introduction and is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 165.
House Bill Number 165 is introduced by Representative Dan Swanitzer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish.
Representative Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the body, please welcome back Game Roadkill. You'll remember we passed this last session. It died on Committee of the Whole over in the Senate for not being heard. Bill has not changed. I brought this back in a budget session for multiple reasons, primarily because after we brought this bill based on Wyoming ideas, the state of Montana to our north, they took the idea, they ran with it, they passed it. After that, Ohio copied Montana. Ohio ran with it, passed it, and included turkeys and hogs. Then Michigan has picked up the bill. And all of a sudden, we have state by state is revising their roadkill laws. As of now, 18 states have some form of legislation on this. The sheer plethora of calls I received last year on the idea from this bill, initiating Wyoming that wasn't passed, I just thought it would be good to try to bring back this session. Hope it gets favorable introduction. We have reported 2,500 deer, 750 elk, and 350 moose hit by motor vehicles in Wyoming on our county roads alone in the last 15 years. That doesn't include the interstate highway, where our major insurance company that represents this state estimates approximately 3,700 deer are hit on Wyoming roadways every year. Once again, this is not necessarily about eating roadkill. Statistics show only 5% of roadkill animals are edible for consumption. However, this does allow you to collect hooves, hides, full game mounts, etc., should you hit an animal or see an animal on the side of the road. Montana, in their first 2 months, has already got 270 permits from interested individuals and companies to clean the roadkill up off the roads. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Representative Winters.
Mr. Chairman, really this is just a point of clarification. I'm just wondering if those states that were referenced earlier ran with it or over it. Thank you.
Representative Mader.
Mr. Speaker, I have a question. I just want clarification on how quick this can be done. You know, roadkill gets a little ripe pretty quick.
Okay. Representative Swanitzer, 30 seconds.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. The different processes, you can pick it up. You just need to call the game and fish if you were to hit one of these animals or see it to collect it. They have the option of coming out to your place or for you to wait with the animal until they get there. Otherwise, you can take it, or you can sign up for a permit that if you see one on the side of the road and you have a permit with you, you can take it without calling the agency. I know there's some concerns about people seeing a deer in the road and speeding up to hit it. In my belief, that deer probably wouldn't be smart enough to last the winter as it was, so better take it off the highway now.
I don't think I need to remind anyone what this bill will be if it fails introduction. The clerk will call the roll.
Baker, Barlow, Berger, Blake, Blevins, Blickery, Brown, Burkhart, Bird, Campbell, Kennedy, Coleman, Connolly, Davison, Eklund, Esquivel, Filer, Freeman, Gay, Dingery, Goggles, Greer excused. Green.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Krohn.
Aye.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
Mader.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas, Northrup excused. Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 49 aye, 9 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 165 has been introduced and is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 5.
House Joint Resolution 5 is introduced by Representative Nicholas.
First reading of the resolution.
The Moose Wilson Roadway.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I bring this joint resolution to stop the federal government from blocking pedestrian, foot, and bike traffic up in the national park. And I'll turn the good presentation of the resolution over to our representative from Jackson.
Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House Joint Resolution 5 for introduction. There's a color map on your desk, so if you could grab that for reference. Most resolutions don't really do anything. It's just that we want to make some big statement. This resolution actually has a chance of doing something because we believe that this level of support from the legislature combined with other support can be leveraged by my constituents for a seat at the table when it comes to planning for these federal lands. So you can see on the map, there's a section of yellow between Teton Village and the entrance to Grand Teton National Park. That's currently a two-way road. What the park is talking about is the possibility of making it into a one-way road, which would drastically limit access. There's a contingent of folks who would actually love for there to be no access at all to this area. The concern from these folks is that it's prime grizzly bear habitat. I'm here to tell you the bears are doing just fine. Many members of my community would actually like to improve access on that road by building a pathway adjacent to the road. You see the dark red lines on your map, especially in the circle section in the middle. Those are existing or already funded pathways. And if you refer to your bill on page 3 at the top of the bill, it says that the pathway is going to be built and maintained with private funds. We're not asking for federal funds. We're just asking for a seat at the table. We're just asking for the community's ideas to be considered. So vote for this if you want to clearly communicate to the federal government to say that the people should not be shut out of their federal lands.
Does anyone wish to speak in opposition? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Baker. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell. Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Feiler,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer excused, Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson, Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Mater,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup excused, Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused.
House Joint Resolution has passed introduction and is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 171.
House Bill Number 171, as submitted by Representative Crone.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Uniform Consumer Credit Code.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Leader. I move House Bill 171 and ask for
your favorable consideration. This bill is pretty straightforward and simple. It's a modification to the existing Uniform Commercial Code, which would allow for short-term loans based on auto titles, and the titles would be used as collateral. The bill itself states that these loans could be not more than 12-month period. There's also a cap on the amount of interest that could be charged during that, which is also a portion of the bill. This would allow certain individuals that wouldn't otherwise be able to have short-term financing an option for that financing. Oftentimes, individuals with the lower credit scores would have a difficult time to acquire this this type of financing. So pretty straightforward bill. I would stand encourage an aye vote. Thank you.
Representative Thorne, 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I guess I have a question how we prevent this from turning into a form of predatory lending or how it puts people who are already in a difficult situation. If they lose their vehicles, how will they be able to get to work and those sorts of things?
Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Representative Cohen, 30 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Leader. I do believe there's appropriate safeguards in this bill to deal with the types of concerns from my friend from Laramie County. Anyone who's applying for these types of loans would have to have clear title to the vehicle. And I believe that the safeguards are in place, and this is a good bill. Would request an aye vote. Thank you.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Levins.
Aye.
Lickry. Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
no.
Davison,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Filer,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
no.
Greer, excused, Green,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt, Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
no.
Mater,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup excused, Patton,
no.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
no.
Reeder, Simlick,
no.
Summers,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
no.
Throne,
no.
Walters,
no.
Watt,
yes.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gingery, aye to no. Bird, aye to no. Lickry, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Moniz, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 28 aye, 30 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 171 has failed introduction. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 177.
House Bill 177 is introduced by Representative Miller.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Mr. Speaker, I move House Bill 177, Federal Land Tax Lien. Folks, this we've all heard of PILT, Payment in Lieu of Taxes, where we have a lot of public lands. That's where we get money from the federal government called PILT as compensation for not being able to tax those lands. Just this year, they were talking about withholding those funds. Of course, last year, they did withhold the funds from our AML money for a while, from our FMRs for a while. But this year, I bring you a bill that has the acronym TILP, Taxation in Lieu of PILT. And so what the bill does for those counties that have a significant amount of public lands, this allows the county to go ahead and sell a tax lien on the public lands in that county. The state will buy that tax lien, and when the feds finally pay their PILT payment, then the state will be able to collect the interest and penalty involved in the particular sale. If they don't make the payment, the state actually builds a case, hopefully, for taking title to those public lands. So it's just an interesting thing. It makes a statement to the feds that we're paying attention. They're breaking their part of our deal to have these public lands. So I ask you to pass this bill to committee for further discussion.
Anyone in opposition? Seeing none and sensing you're ready to vote, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer. Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
No.
Greer excused. Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Excuse.
Harvey.
Excuse.
Excused. Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
Mater.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas. Northrup excused.
Aye.
Oh, Northrup, aye. Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Harvey?
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 12 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 177, having received sufficient votes for introduction, shall be referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 164.
House Bill 164, as presented by Representative Miller.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wind River Indian Reservation.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move House Bill 164, Wind River Reservation Boundaries. And all this bill does is put in statute what the state's position has been for 110 years on the known boundaries and the recognized boundaries of the reservation, where, you know, which jurisdiction applies where. This just puts it in statute. This is pretty much the Attorney General's opinion on this. And with that, I'll stand for any questions.
Representative Goggles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking in opposition to the bill, there was a news article today that most of the participating parties, the executive branch, the two individual tribal governments, and the EPA have stayed in the implementation of that treatment of estate request by the two tribes. It would seem appropriate that this body stay its action as well. But I would say to the body, vote your will.
Anyone else? 1 minute. Representative Miller, 30 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My colleague from the other side of the river is right. The EPA did stay the decision. The tribes also asked for the stay, as did the communities in the area. So, yeah, with it, we've got a little reprieve here, but there's still going to be ongoing issues with this, and I ask for your favorable vote so we can discuss this in committee.
Chief Clerk will call the roll on House Bill 164.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly. Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Filer.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Greer excused. Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman. Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Mater.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Representative Harvey, no to aye. Are there any other changes? Blevins, no to aye. Northrup, are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 46 aye, 13 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 164, having received sufficient votes to be introduced, shall be referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 160.
House Bill Number 160 is presented by Representative Halverson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the legislature.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Federalism is the tenet that the powers of the state and the United States Constitution are superior to the powers of the federal government. Statism is the idea that the powers of the federal government are superior to the powers of the state. In this country, we have been in the throes of expanding statism for over 70 years. The government in Washington, D.C., a government which we the states created, is exerting powers which were never granted to it. The federal government is exerting powers that should be the purview of the states, the basis of this country's founding. The unconstitutional abuse of the necessary and proper clause, the myth of the supremacy clause, and the incorrect notion that there is no higher authority than the United States Supreme Court have lulled the states into a submission to the federal government that our founders never intended. We, the people, and our Constitution are the ultimate authority. Your formation of this commission, and I will move the bill, for your consideration, House Bill 160. Thank you, Gerald. Your formation of this commission will permit Wyoming's evaluation of federal laws, either independently or in cooperation with one or more other states. Federal laws shall be evaluated according to the powers that we, the states, granted the federal government in the U.S. Constitution. The powers are enumerated in 11 of the 19 pages of this bill. This bill provides the Commission with perfectly proper powers and authority to seek remedy if it finds that a federal law exceeds its powers, i.e., notification to the federal government of a finding that the law is not authorized by the Constitution, or consultation with our D.C. delegation, and facilitated meetings with the responsible federal government entities. I urge your consideration.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question on how this would differ. We have a federal lands task force right now. We have a health insurance exchange task force. The AG's office looked at these issues. We have Energy Council. We have NCSL. We have a whole lot of things that study the balance of federalism, and it's what I'm teaching this semester, actually, is kind of the overload of agencies and entities that our state has right now to combat and to work in the federal system between the state and the federal government. I'm just not sure what this does that we're not already trying to do, or if this just centralizes it in one place. I guess I'm okay with that. I just don't want more bureaucracy and want it to be effective. So I just want to know what's the difference between this and what we already have, and why would this be more effective?
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't really have a problem per se with the bill, but the fiscal note, $60,000, another commission, another study in this. I know two senior centers in my county that would die for $60,000 more, probably in your county too. So don't particularly like spending the money on this. Thank you.
Representative Halverson, 30-second rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This does centralize the study of federal legislation into one entity that will be empowered to work with the federal government under the auspices of this state to challenge, seek further information, clarification on federal laws that impact this state, and I urge your consideration. Thank you.
The chief clerk has informed me that she's having a hard time hearing all of the votes, so if you can keep the activity down while we're in the middle of the vote, that would be a good thing. Chief clerk will call the roll on House Bill 170, or 160.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Blickery.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman. Connolly,
no.
Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
no.
Greer excused, Green,
no.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker, Krohn, Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
no.
Lauchs,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Mader,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
no.
Summers,
no.
Stubson, Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Throne, aye to no. Summers, no to aye. Patton, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 35 aye, 24 no, 1 excused.
That's like a whack-a-mole game. House Bill 160, having not received sufficient votes to be introduced, shall not be introduced.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Northrup.
I privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
In the South Balcony is my lovely wife of 32 years. Let's give her a welcome.
The better half of the Northrup family is in the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 166.
House Bill 166 is introduced by Representative Baker.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to health care.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Bill 166 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is kind of a follow-up to a previous bill. This bill is intended to do multiple things. One, allow our state to participate in any future challenges to the ACA. Two, it outlines and justifies concerns. Three, prohibits participation in unconstitutional aspects of the ACA. And lastly, offers some protection through the Attorney General. As you will recall, our governor directed the Attorney General to challenge the constitutionality of the ACA. The Supreme Court upheld the law, but issues persist. For example, the Supreme Court characterized the ACA as a tax when Congress refused to identify it as such. As the target continues to move, the unilateral changes are made, states will have ground in future challenges. We have many avenues available to us as a state, a couple being nullification and anti-commandeering. Narrowly defined, nullification is a formal ordinance of a state that declares a federal law void within its boundaries stemming from Thomas Jefferson. Broadly, it includes state-sponsored lawsuits, applications of Article V conventions, and political coordination among states to promote change or repeal, such as a resolution like we just passed. Anti-commandeering establishes that the federal government has no authority to force the states to cooperate in implementing or enforcing its acts. In 2012, Justice Kennedy argued that allowing Congress to essentially punish states that refuse to go along violates constitutional separation of powers. In a separate case, Justice O'Connor wrote, Congress may not commandeer the process of the states by directly compelling them to enact and enforce a federal regulatory program. As a state, we are challenging a recent EPA ruling, and as the moving target gets further from its origin, we have more ground to challenge. If the President continues to bypass congressional authority with his pen, we need to resist. I am open to discussions about amendments on this bill, but I urge you to support and standing with me in the concept.
Any one-minute rebuttals? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I understand the intent of this bill, and quite frankly, there's a lot of parts of it I agree with. However, we have between 5,000 and 6,000 people that are already enrolled in the insurance plans that were offered on the marketplace. And so now they have insurance. They have a legal contract. Is this going to work? I don't think so. I think that this bill is well intended, but I think that the camel already got his nose and his head and most of his shoulders through this tent.
Any other one-minute rebuttals? 30 seconds, Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the good chairwoman's remarks. I think that this is just one more tool, as I said. I'm open to amendments on the bill. Even if we gutted the majority of the bill, that'd be fine. I think it could be a statement piece, and it could be a piece that we could utilize in the future for future challenges. As I said, the target continues to be moved, and further challenges are probably going to come to this the Affordable Care Act.
Chief Clerk will call the roll on House Bill 166.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Flake.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Flickery.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Escobel.
No.
Filer.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery. Goggles.
No.
Greer excused. Green.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
Mader.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas. Northrup.
No.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Summers.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Petroff, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 21 aye, 38 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 166, having received insufficient votes for introduction, shall not be introduced or will not be introduced. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 173.
House Bill 173 is introduced by Representative Throne.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to schools.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill allows school districts but does not mandate school districts to adopt policies that would allow them to administer life-saving epinephrine. And that's the last time I'm going to say that word. From here on out, it's EpiPen. Right now, we have a provision in our statute that allows students to bring their own prescription drugs to school. What this would do would allow school districts to develop policies to maintain a supply of EpiPens and then deploy them in emergency situations. A number of states have adopted this, up to 30 states. When I first started working on the bill, and since then, Mississippi, South Dakota, and one other state just in the last few weeks have overwhelmingly allowed their school districts to adopt this policy. I think it could help primarily more in our rural schools. In the city of Cheyenne, where my children go to school, the ambulance might be able to get to all of their schools in time, but this would not necessarily be the case in some of our rural schools. The bill provides for training. And it, again, it allows the districts to adopt their own policies. And finally, it also provides for immunity. Thank you.
Representative Croker for a minute.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Not exactly a rebuttal. I think the bill is a good idea, but I do have a question, and that is, did you think, why limit it to just one drug and not allow schools to carry other things that might save students' lives? I'm just curious as to the answer. Thank you.
Any other one-minute rebuttals? 30 seconds, Madam Minority Floor Leader.
In response to that question, I guess this is a place to start, but if it works, it can be expanded. And with that, I'll stop and save 10 seconds, maybe.
Chief Clerk will call the roll on House Bill 173.
Baker. Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman. Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay, Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer, excused, Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson, Larson, Lockhart,
aye.
Larson,
excuse.
Larson, excused, Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Mader,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff, Piperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne, Walters,
aye.
Watt,
Duke.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 3 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 173, having received sufficient votes for introduction, shall be referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 161.
House Bill 161 is submitted by Representative Barlow.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to Medicaid.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 161, Medicaid expansion, and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, we have visited about the financial components that are awry in our health care system. We have acknowledged the moral considerations. We just considered the legalities of where we are with health care. I respectfully ask you to contemplate one more factor. In 2012, the citizens of this state adopted Article 1, Section 38. In part, it says, each competent adult shall have the right to make his or her own health care decisions. And another section says, the state of Wyoming shall preserve these rights from undue governmental infringement. So, ladies and gentlemen, should we deny a citizen of Wyoming who is 26 years old or less, should we not allow them access to their parents' health care? Should we vote to deny a citizen of Wyoming health care insurance that covers pre-existing conditions? Should we vote to deny a citizen of Wyoming federal tax credits to help them afford health care? Or will we vote aye to continue a discussion about how and if we should provide access to appropriate health care to all of Wyoming citizens? In having this discussion, we can value employment, we can manage costs, and we can demand quality. With your aye vote, I will stand in your service, and we will be standing in service of citizens of Wyoming and this nation. Thank you for your consideration.
Any one-minute rebuttals? Seeing none and sensing you're ready to vote, the Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel. Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay. Gingery. Goggles. Greer excused. Green. Halverson. Harshman. Harvey. Hunt. Hutchings. Yagi. Kasparic. Kasparic. Kirkbride. Croker. Crone. Larson excused. Lockhart. Laux. Madden. Mater. McKim. Miller. Moniz. Nicholas. Northrup. Patton. Paxton. Petroff. Piperinen. Reeder. Semlick. Summers. Stubson. Teeters. Throne. Walters. Watt. Wilson. Winters. Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 33 aye, 25 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 161, having received insufficient votes for introduction, shall not be introduced. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 169.
House Bill 169 is introduced by Representative Davison.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to Medicaid waiver programs.
Representative Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 169, Medicaid Waiver Programs and Case Management System, and I hope you will vote favorably for it. Last year we passed the Senate File 60, a health bill, and in that bill it took away a choice that we have had to choose our case management either in-house with the program or outside. And when we passed that bill, it took that choice away from us. Every year we get a list of in-house and out-of-house managers as parents, but we took that choice away from the parents and the guardians and the disabled person. By doing that, we have so many that are leaving the field from these programs, and possibly they may, from what I understand, they're going to bring an out-of-state company in to provide district case management to these folks. And I just think this is wrong. We need to correct this. It's not working. And I'd like to cede the rest of my time over to the representative from House District 35. Thank you.
Thank you. I would ask you to support this bill. My son is in the program. And under the way things are right now, his old case manager, who has helped our family immensely, is currently providing him services. And if this bill doesn't change, Daniel will lose the ability to get services from him because the state is saying he can't be both a case manager and provide services. And I would hate to think that somebody who's meant so much to my son, that the choice of us being able to let him provide services would be taken away from us. And so please support this bill.
Representative Blickery.
This is just a question for the bringer of the bill, and that is this just a case where it's like virtually impossible to find somebody that is free of conflicts of interest?
Well, is there another 1 minute rebuttal? Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Number one, CMS has directed the state to go to a conflict-free case management system. So this bill would have no effect on our case management system. We are continuing to work with the Department of Health and trying to work out some of the very issues that were brought to this floor. And we are also working with providers and being able to help them through some of the issues of case management. But the truth is, we're trying to fight fraud, and we're trying to get to where there is no conflict between those who are directing people to services that they cannot directly profit from them saying, and it'd be like, here, would you like a piece of candy? Yes, I'd like a piece of candy, and it's all from the same provider. And that's what we're exactly trying.
Chairman Davis, in 30 seconds.
Thank you. I have to differ with previous speaker. I don't think that is a trend that they're going toward with CMS. But I can tell you, in answer to the other representative's question, there is a problem with conflict-free, because in Wyoming, we're all related somehow. And if we have someone in a program, that program's going to work better, or it has for us, with an in-house person. And I beg you to vote yes on this amendment. I think it will make a difference.
Aye.
Thank you.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer excused. Green.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Mater.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 8 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 169, having received sufficient votes for introduction, is referred to Committee 10, Labor. Brothers and sisters, as we announced earlier, House Bill 179, because it was turned in way past the deadline at 9:45 this morning, will be heard after general file today if we have time. Chairman Davison, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Hey,
is everyone remembering? I want you to take care of yourself. I know you don't eat right. I know you don't sleep right. But you can drink water because it's right back there. Please don't forget that. Keep yourself in good shape.
Thank you, Chairman Davison. We're at that order of business of messages from the Senate.
Message number 107. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 7. Brucellosis surveillance, ayes 30, no 0. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 108. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 9. Probation and parole agent arrest authority, ayes 30, no 0. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 109. Bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 10, Work Release Act, dash repeal. Ayes 29, noes 1. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 110, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 12, State Education Program. Ayes 22, noes 8. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 111. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 13, Hathaway Scholarship Program, Enrollment Expansion. Ayes 30, noes 0. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 112. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 15, Community College Major Maintenance. Ayes 29, noes 1. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 113, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 17, Insurance, Electronic Delivery of Documents. Ayes 29, noes 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 114. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 21, Insurance Own Risk Solvency Model Act, Ayes 30, Noes 0, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 115, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File Number 26, Endowment Challenge Program-State Funds Inviolate. Ayes 30, Noes 0. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 116, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File Number 27, Endowment Challenge Program Fees. Ayes 25, Noes 5. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 117, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 29, Supervised Probation of Misdemeanants. Ayes 30, Noes 0. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 118, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on the third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 55, Hathaway Student Scholarship Program-Award Increase. Ayes 24, Noes 6. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 119, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 79, Education Student Data Security-2, Ayes 30, Noes 0, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
With that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 11, Controlled Substances, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingrey, Halverson, Miller, Walters, Watt, one no vote, Representative Croker, and one excused, Representative Crone, signed by Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 23, Landowner's Duty to a Trespasser, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, Watt. Those who voted no, Representatives Baker, Connolly, and Gingrey, signed by Representative Miller, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 21, Property Tax Exemption-Charity, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Eklund, Goggles, Kirkbride, Laux, Madden, Nader, Northrop, Petroff, Simlik, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 53, Wyoming Lottery Definition, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Eklund, Goggles, Kirkbride, Laux, Madden, Nader, Northrop, Petroff, and Simlik, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 54, Lottery Board, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Eklund, Goggles, Kirkbride, Laux, Madden, Nader, Northrop, Petroff, and Simlik, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 30, Prohibited Harassment of Wildlife, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blevins, Davison, Freeman, Gay, Halverson, Hutchings, Yagi, Crum, Pieperinen, signed by Representative Davison, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 48, Fishing with Artificial Light, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Blevins, Davison, Freeman, Gay, Halverson, Hutchings, Yagi, Crone, and Pieperinen, signed by Representative Davison, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business and Economic Development, to whom is referred House Bill 35, Select Committee on the Transfer of Public Land, respectfully reports the same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Greer, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Leader, Summers, and Winters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business and Economic Development, to whom is referred House Joint Number 1, Support of Taiwan, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Greer, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Reeder, Summers, and Winters, signed Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 86, Rural Health Care Districts - Authority, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Barlow, Coleman, Filer, Green, Harvey, Kasparic, Larson, Throne, and Wilson, signed by Representative Green, Vice Chairman.
With that order of business of bills on second reading, the first bill for our consideration is House Bill 5.
Mr. Speaker?
Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
I really do not need to figure out how to add about 6 inches. May I have privilege of the floor, please?
Certainly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have the great honor of introducing some folks in the South Gallery. The parents are important, but the daughter's more important. It's Mr. and Mrs. Mike Easley from Sundance, Wyoming, and Mike is the CEO of the Powder River Energy Co-op, which is our largest one in the state of Wyoming. But it's their daughter, Olivia, who has done some amazing things. She's just been elected as the National Association of Student Council Advisory Board, the first time in 20 years that we have had someone from Wyoming representing our youth at a national level. So please welcome and congratulate Olivia. I hope, Mr. Speaker, someday she will be here and taking charge.
Congratulations and welcome to the House. Let's see, we were just at, are we have any more privileges of the floor? Seeing none and sentencing, you're ready to get on with business. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 5.
House Bill Number 5, as presented by the Education Committee, an act relating to school buses.
There is an amendment. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 5 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this amendment does nothing to the bill. It does not change the bill in any way. It simply changes the appropriation date on page 2, line 15, by inserting the words effective July 1st, 2014. So what it does and how it affects the goldenrod is that we will make this appropriation out of the upcoming biennium, not out of the past biennium. That's all it does. I'd stand for questions, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If the appropriations chairman is happy, I'm happy. So, friendly amendment.
Anyone else? We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 5. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 5 has passed the House. House Bill 5 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 34.
House Bill 34 is introduced by the Minerals Committee, an act relating to municipal solid waste facilities, cease and transfer grant and loan program.
House Bill 34 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 41.
House Bill 41, as presented by the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to the Emergency Medical Technician Pension Plan.
House Bill 41 having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 46.
House Bill 46, as presented by the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to public employees.
House Bill 46 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 51.
House Bill 51 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to a fireman's pension plan.
There is an amendment. Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 51. And hopefully you kept your handouts from yesterday, but what I'm talking about here, you'll see on page 10 of that handout, and it's what I call the Code of the West Amendment. So when we met with all the parties this past year, the one thing that we didn't put in this bill that we had agreed on was that 2.1% COLA would be compounded. So if you look in column four, you'll see how the bill is now. But column one was what they had. So you can see that by them coming down to the 2.1% compound, where that $1,000 difference is. So if this amendment passes, I think we'll all be in agreement with everything that we talked about this past summer. And I could support the bill.
Chairman Harshman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. Members, I just remind you, this is really a small amount, and I think, frankly, too small to jeopardize the bill, in my view. And this bill is going to face a lot of challenges as it goes through the process. We started our discussion, certainly, in the interim, back in the center of the state in June in our first meetings, and we've been really looked at a whole range of options. But we've come down on this current option in the bill of a 2.1 flat COLA for several months now. So it's not something that we just developed in the last week or two. And so to me, I just real leery of introducing things that will change what was a joint bill that would potentially jeopardize the bill, and so I'd urge your defeat of the amendment.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Escobel.
Mr. Speaker, with great trepidation, I push back on my good chairman of appropriations. And when we made the deal, you know, I'd just say that we made a promise to him, and I'm going to keep my promise, so like, vote your will.
Putting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 51. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 51 fails. All in favor stand. All opposed? Can we all agree that it's more than seven? Should have trusted me. House Bill 51, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're now at that order of bills on third reading, regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 7.
House Bill number 7 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to crimes and offenses, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Croker. Representative Connolly.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 7 and ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, if you remember yesterday, there was a second reading amendment that kind of significantly narrowed the applicability of this bill, and I gave a little bit of pushback. I was concerned about the ability for a target of aggression to be safe in an overnight accommodation, residence, whatever it is. And that was my concern. And on visiting with our staff, we came up with a kind of slight modification on page 2, line 21, to include after overnight accommodation, overnight shelter. And that then covers all of the scenarios that I could imagine in my head without expanding the bill very much at all.
Now, Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a friendly amendment and strengthens what I was trying to do yesterday, so please support it.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 7. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 7 has passed. House Bill 7 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird. Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer. Excused. Green.
Aye.
Halverson. Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparik, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, Mader, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Petroff, Piperinen, Reeder, Simlick, Summers, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Walters, Watt, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
House Bill 7 having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 7 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 22.
House Bill 22, as introduced by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to revenue and taxation. Be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 22 and would like to explain it. Members of the House, you recall yesterday we passed an amendment, which is amendment number 2, and it might be helpful to kind of follow this. This is not a complicated amendment. It's a clarifying amendment, and the explanation is as follows. If you look at, first of all, how to read it in, if you look at the second reading amendment on page 3, line 7, down on line number 10 on the amendment, or in that area, you'll see where it says, after subtracting any offsetting credit, okay? And the issue here is, the way it's worded here, the county treasurer shall first compute a net deficiency amount after subtracting any offsetting credit. And the issue is that the way it appears right there, there's only one net deficiency amount. And the thing is that they have to have a separate deficiency amount for each taxing jurisdiction. And a taxing jurisdiction is a set of common taxpayers with their own total mill levy. So if you live in town versus out of town, or if you live in a special district as opposed to not living in that special district, the mill levies are different. So you have to compute that net deficiency amount for each of the tax jurisdictions and each of the years over which it's applicable. Okay? And this is was actually noticed by treasurers, and it has the support of the treasurers, and I bring this, and it makes this amendment much more clear, and it shows it outlines the fact that yes, the county treasurers do have this responsibility, and it's really what this amendment does is put in law what they've already been doing all along, because they know they have to do that. But that was all there is to it, and I would urge your support.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Madden. We're voting on second reading or third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 22. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 22 is passed. House Bill 22 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Filer. Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer excused. Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Mader.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton. Petroff, Pieperinen, Reeder, Simlick, Summers, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Walters, Watt, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Hunt, aye to no. Paxton, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 5 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 22, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 22 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 24.
House Bill 24 is introduced by the Transportation Department, an act relating to the registration of motor vehicles.
House Bill 24, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer excused. Green.
Aye.
Halverson. Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Mader,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Baker, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 3 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 24, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 24 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 40.
House Bill 40, as submitted by the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to administration of government, being enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 40, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins. Flickery,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingrey.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer excused. Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Mater.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Simlek.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller. Aye to no.
Amazing.
Gay. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 8 no, 1 excused.
With that order of business of consideration of bills on general file, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, on your general file list, on your yellow sheet, move House Bill 61 down to the bottom. Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House has resolved itself into Committee of the Whole. Representative Baker.
Committee Whole. Please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 83. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 83 is submitted by the Labor Committee, an act relating to health insurance, providing for a premium tax credit for the cost of coverage under the inherited enzymatic disorder coverage requirement, providing authority to the insurance commissioner and providing for an effective date.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harvey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 83 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. And I will turn the explanation of the bill and the amendment over to the good attorney from the next community over on I-80, west on I-80.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last year, we passed a bill on PKU for inherited enzymatic disorders, and we overwhelmingly passed that, making insurance companies cover those PKU people. Anyways, the Affordable Care Act, as it is continually changed over the last few years, has changed once again. So our benchmark plan is mandated to cover everything from December 31st, 2011. Since we passed this bill last year, it is not part of our benchmark plan and is therefore not covered. So the options we can do to make sure it is covered is, number one, direct payment to the people or the insurance companies. But as we all know, that is unconstitutional in the state of Wyoming. We can't pay private people and companies. So another option is to have the premium tax credit cover this. And the premium tax credit in the state of Wyoming is $24 million a year, and therefore we're going to give a subsidy to the premium tax credit to the insurance companies to make sure the people of PKU are still covered. Now, I know some of you may be concerned about this. What happens with this ever-changing Affordable Care Act? How are we not going to be covering the bill the whole time and make sure this premium tax credit goes on endlessly? Well, therefore, we have this wonderful amendment that provides a sunset provision that says this subsection is repealed June 30th, 2017. Right now, CMS believes that the benchmark plan will be reworked in 2016, but either way, with the sunset provision, even if the benchmark plan isn't reworked through the Affordable Care Act, we are no longer on the hook as of 2017, and the people with
PKU are covered. So my, without questions on the amendment, I'd ask for the question on the amendment first, Mr. Chairman.
You have heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment number one has been adopted. We are back on the bill.
And Mr. Chairman, I'll stand for any questions. And if not, I ask for your favorable aye vote.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Harshman's motion that the Committee of the Whole, that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 83 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 83 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 32.
House Bill 32, submitted by the Travel Commission, an act relating to snowmobiles, increasing registration and user fees, eliminating user fees for resident snowmobiles, repealing requirement to show proof of sales tax paid, repealing requirements for specified language on decals, providing for disposition of fees for replacement certificates and decals, providing definitions, and providing for an effective date.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Representative Yagi?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 32 do pass. I'll turn the explanation and the movement of the Standing Committee Amendment over to our Representative Freeman.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We will attack the Standing Committee number one first. The Standing Committee Amendment is pretty simple. The original bill had an increase in snowmobile fees of $10, and then in 2 years later, it was going to have another increase of $5. What the Standing Amendment does is it gets rid of the second fee increase in two. That was supposed to take effect in 2 years. It just eliminates that. So I would, if there isn't any questions, I would call for the question.
You have heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. All those in favor, say it. Oh, sorry. Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, I stand on and against this amendment. I heard from a lot of snow machiners in my country that feel that they need this increase in the registration fee to maintain the trail systems, and I never got one response back negative on this in my area, and we have a lot of snow machiners. Thank you.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment number one to House Bill 32, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Committee of the Whole Amendment number one has failed. On to the bill. Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's getting late in the day, and I'm getting kind of tired, so I probably will ramble a little bit, but I hope not. This fee increase came from the snowmobilers themselves. We were approached a year ago where they requested a much larger increase, and that bill died in committee. They came back in the interim to where that we looked at this. They came back with a much more moderate fee increase, and to have it over 2 years now that the standing amendment failed. Right now, I should let everyone in the body know that Wyoming is, by some measures, the number one destination for snowmobilers. We have excellent trails, and people from all over the country have come to see them. I think you have the same emails that I have, and I've had international emails. I've had all over the country saying that they like Wyoming and they would like to see our trails maintained. Two of the top 10 trails in Wyoming in the United States are located in Wyoming, and in the past there has been as many as six. What this bill does is it raises the fee by $10. And that is needed because for the past several years we have been running at a deficit. We've been at a deficit of maintaining those trails for about $1 million. What we have done is they have used RTP funding, which is a federal grant, and it's always on the verge of disappearing. If we don't find more funding, we're at risk of losing the number of trails that we have. Several years ago, they saw this coming and they reduced the number of miles and grooming at that time. The $1 million shortfall will basically be filled by two influxes of funding. When we passed the gas tax last year, there's a certain percentage of that that goes to snow machines to upkeep the trails, the warming huts, the parking lots, the markers, and the education. The registration fees will raise the about another $350,000. So if you put the two together, we're talking between $750,000 and $800,000. The other thing that it does two other things, is that it differentiates between resident and non-resident, which makes it a whole lot easier to administer. And what you used to do, the way that I understand it, used to pay a user fee and a registration. Now what you do is you buy a decal. So it's much easier to be a snow machine owner. The last thing that it does is we had some what I would call gaming, where somebody would go in and buy a sticker, and then they would come back very quickly thereafter and say they lost it, and we would replace that sticker for a dollar. So now what happens is you lose your sticker and you have to at least pay half price to get the second one on there. Mr. Chairman, this has gone through lots of debate on the in the committee. We feel that we're bringing you a very good bill. We've made it simpler. We're able to maintain our trails. Our trails and our snowmobile industry brings $175 million worth of tourists to us each year. So I ask for your favorable consideration and are subject to questions.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I fully support this, but I did have a couple of people that asked about the enforcement. And his allegation was that there's a significant number of people that use those trails that don't have a permit. And he wonders if anybody ever gets arrested for it. And I guess I thought what I'd do is ask him or ask you at this committee of the whole what is the penalty for using those trails without a permit. And is there anything maybe we can do in this bill if there's, you know, it might be one of these factors that if getting caught and fined is only $25, but you want this much for the permit, it might be better to risk it. I don't know. I don't snowmobile, but tell me about the enforcement and what the penalty is and whether or not it can be added to this bill.
We were told what the penalty was, but frankly, I didn't put it in my notes and I couldn't remember. Where a lot of these trails are in the national forest, and what happens is our good friends in the federal government are kind of maintaining that and finding the people who are in violation of that. both the federal government and the state government have been trying to promote snowmobile tourism and saying, would you please go and buy the ticket rather than to impose a fine. But from what I remember, the fine was pretty steep. And there, for a while, we were talking about, well, let's just go enforce what we have now and raise our revenues that way. And we thought that that was a lot more heavy-handed than we in Wyoming are. Thank you for the question.
Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Yagi's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, to do so with the recommendation that Bill number 32 do pass, please say aye. All those opposed, no. House Bill 32 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 70. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 70 is introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming retirement system, providing for limited participation in law enforcement plan by peace officers employed by the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources as specified, providing for contributions, making an appropriation, and providing for an effective date.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Hushman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 70 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. Members, I would just move the Standing Committee Amendment. It is a technical change, changes the statute number from 93402 to the correct statute is 93432. So I'd call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Question having been called on the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 70. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and turn the explanation over to the good Chairman of Judiciary from the Northwest.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this bill was assigned to us during the interim. It was assigned to Judiciary, so this was actually a Judiciary Committee bill. And then it got assigned to Appropriations, and which actually was a pretty efficient way of doing that because they had a lot of questions, and it worked out really well to get those questions all answered by Appropriations. So here was the issue. Over the years, the state park rangers have come in and asked us to put them into the law enforcement retirement system. We have usually said no to that. Well, every year we've said no to that, and good reason why we've said no to it. But they brought back and they said, what if we went into just for the peace officers, just for disability and death benefits? So Judiciary studied that over the interim, and then we brought this bill. Just to remind everyone just how the retirement works, you got your big plan, which most state employees are, and then you have your peace officers, and you have your wardens, and you have some other ones. But here we're just talking about the big plan and the peace officers. The big plan, how it works, and there's a handout there, and there's some chicken scratch at the bottom that tells you this. But in the big plan, if you get disabled in the first 10 years of your employment with the state of Wyoming, we give you no benefit, okay? But if after 10 years, then you may retire with full retirement. We let you retire with full retirement. And then with death, we just pay you whatever you've contributed into the retirement, that money gets pulled out and paid to your survivors. Peace officers is a little bit different. Immediately, there's none of this 10-year wait. Immediately upon becoming a peace officer, going into the peace officer, on disability, and there's a distinction between in the line of duty or outside the line of duty, and all that means is if I'm shot while on duty, that's one thing. If I am disabled off duty, that's different. So if I'm in the line of duty, I get 62.5% of my salary for the rest of my life, or if I'm outside, 50%. And then with death, it's 62.5% of my salary plus 6% of my salary for each, you multiply that for each child I have, and that goes to your children. Okay, so the first thing we did with Judiciary was try to figure out, are state park rangers similar to other peace officers, meaning your local law enforcement, your police department, or your sheriff deputies, those guys. And after a lot of testimony, we came to the conclusion that they truly are. There are 21 of them. They are all post-certified. They're certified peace officers. And then they went through many of the things that we hadn't really thought about, of all the different things that these peace officers have to put up with. In many of these parks, especially in the summertime, they are dealing with a lot of alcohol-related offenses, very similar to what your police department deals with or your sheriff's department, and they're dealing with a lot of assault and battery and drunk driving and actually drunk boating. They also gave this, the anecdotal of a ranger, a state park ranger in 2011 was actually shot in the chest apprehending someone. He actually did survive that, but barely. The state park rangers, what their assertion is that they are peace officers and that they should be treated similar to our other peace officers. We were not prepared to go all the way of putting him into the peace officer retirement, but what we were prepared to do was to go ahead and move them for disability purposes and death benefit purposes into the peace officer system. What this ends up costing, they take 1% of their salary, pays this, so we actually end up not having to pay for it. They do. But we did appropriate $15,000. That $15,000 will probably not ever get spent, but the actuarials say you have to have some money up front just for that odd circumstance that the minute you pass the bill, someone actually gets shot. So you have to have some money available to start the program. So that's why there's that small appropriation in there. And I would stand for any questions.
Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Yagi? Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Harshman's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 70 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. House Bill 70 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 3. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill Number 3 from the Education Committee, an act relating to school finance, eliminating the moratorium imposed upon alternative schools included within a district's configuration of schools under the block grant funding model, subject to specified conditions addressing educational space for alternative schools as specified, granting rulemaking authority, and providing for an effective date.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Teeters?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 3 do pass. And I further move the adoption of Substitute Bill Number 1 for House Bill 3. We're going to experience some gymnastics when it comes to all of the joint education interim bills that were passed prior to the court decision, the pending court decision, I should say. So if you'll take out your substitute bill, which will be in your inbox, it was just recently distributed, I will explain briefly the difference between the substitute bill number 1 and House Bill 3. But before I do that, I would ask for a vote on substitute bill number 1 so we can discuss it.
You've heard the motion on substitute bill number 1 of House Bill 3. Question having been called, all those in favor of adopting House Bill or substitute bill number 1 on House Bill 3, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Substitute Bill Number 1 of House Bill 3 has been adopted. We're back on the bill.
Okay, members, thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you could take out Substitute Bill Number 1 to House Bill 3 and turn to the back of the bill, we have a Section 3. Inside that Section 3, there are provisions that will allow the enactment of this piece of legislation in two different ways, depending on how the final decision of the Supreme Court is made through the district court in the final order. And because of that uncertainty, the language that was in the original bill dealt and only contemplated that we would have a director of the Department of Education. The other possibility, of course, is that the state superintendent will lead the agency. So this bill has an automatic trigger in it now. Irregardless of what the court decides, this bill will be in compliance with the law. So that is the explanation of the substitute bills. You'll see several of these. And I'm going to have the good gentleman from the western side of the state now explain the substantive parts of the bill.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The backbenchers in the back of the room, if you're talking about legislation in the English mode or the cheap seats in Wyoming, are saying if I can get this done under 2 minutes, I'm going to have everybody's vote. This is a bill that you pass 59-0 or 60-0. Didn't have a vote against it all last year. It went over to the Senate. It was a love fest in the Senate Education Committee and also in the appropriations. It was thought that it would be best if this went through an interim. We went through the interim again and looked at it, and it was determined a good bill. Basically what happened in about 2006, there was a moratorium on alternative schools. What was happening at that time, districts were playing games. They were loading up schools and getting more money and not really providing the services. The other thing that they were doing is they were requesting to have buildings built that really weren't needed. So what this bill does is it lifts the moratorium and it says if you're going to have an alternative school, you have to demonstrate a need. Not only do you have to demonstrate a need, what happens is we're going to go 3 years, 2 to 3 years, depending on how it's what it's set up for, to where that you're showing that you're doing exactly what you said you were going to do. The last thing that it does is you do not put the alternative school onto the building or the school facilities list until you have been approved as a regular school after that 2 to 3 year probation. I taught in an alternative school for 23 years. There is an extreme need, I think, in certain areas for alternative schools. It helps raise our graduation rate. We had testimony last year to where that putting students, and these are good students, in a different environment that they can succeed, and I would ask for your favorable vote.
Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Teeter's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 3 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 3 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 18. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 18 from Corporations Committee, an act relating to coroners, providing for investigations and recommendations regarding revocation of certification by Board of Coroner Standards, providing for notification of revocation and providing for an effective date.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Minority Whip Byrd?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to yield the floor to the Vice Chairman to move the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move House Bill 18, and this is a committee bill, and turn over the I move the Committee of the Whole rise to report to do so the recommendation that House Bill 18 do pass. There are no amendments on the bill, and would turn over the explanation of the bill to the good Minority Whip.
Minority Whip Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the legislature, the House. I'm going to be brief because it's late in the afternoon. This is a fairly self-explanatory bill. A coroner standards and enforcement. Basically what it is a bill that, let me catch up with her. It creates the standards for the coroner's board and some new subsections. That would be subsection 6, which promulgates the rules and regulations to provide for the review of complaints if a coroner or deputy coroner has failed to comply with any provision of Wyoming Statute 7-4-103 or this subsection, or has failed to meet any of the educational or training requirements provided underneath this subsection. I believe that most of you have probably looked at this, and so we can get into the explanation of the bill, if that pleases the chair. That's you.
Minority Whip Burt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 18, Coroner Standards and Enforcements in WS 7-4-211. The Board of Coroner Standards is charged with creating standards for training of coroners and deputy coroners. The Board is also charged with establishing standards for investigation of the coroner's cases and investigations. Presently, the Board has no way to enforce standards. They are statutorily charged with monitoring. Currently, there is no way for a person to even lodge a complaint about how a coroner is doing his or her job. House Bill 18 addresses this in a way that would benefit both the citizens of Wyoming and the coroners of our state. House Bill 18 does three things. Number one, it creates two new paragraphs, which I alluded to, and one subsection, which I alluded to, in Wyoming Statute 7-4-211. That will allow the Wyoming Board of Coroner Standards to promulgate new rules, provide for the review of complaints if coroners or deputies fail to meet the standards of the Board, which was statutorily required, and to establish and take action if it is found that the standards are not being met. Number two, it will provide the Board another means to offer coroners to train and help to meet those standards. And finally, number three, it requires the Board to notify the county commissioners if any coroner or deputy has their certification revoked. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I stand for questions.
Chairman Geagrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a few comments and questions on this. This is somewhat of an odd deal because it's an elected official that you're doing this with. And I was just wondering if, when you studied this over the interim, when the committee was looking at it, if that discussion came up. There's two positions that we have in county governments. Both the county assessor and the county coroner have to have certifications. But even with the county assessor, if she loses her certification, she remains in office, actually, as the assessor. The coroner, or the part I was a little concerned about, was you have there that once they lose their certification that you notify the county, was the intent was then the county would do what? Because he's an elected official. I'm not sure how you remove him. And we sort of don't have the same type of system. You know, when you might have a complaint about the sheriff, we don't complain directly to post like this bill does to do that. I'm just wondering if there was discussion on that. And, you know, we had one of these one time where our coroner in my county, he'd been the coroner for 20 years, had gotten the training every year for 20 years, and then he got to the last 6 months, and he wasn't running again that year, and decided not to go to that year's meeting because he had taught the class for the last 10 years, and they found someone else to teach it, so he didn't go that year. And so then they said, oh, you missed your certification. So here's a guy that had been teaching the class for 20 years, had been a coroner for 20 years, and suddenly because on the last 6 months he didn't want to go, because he wasn't going to run anymore, suddenly they say you've lost your certification, and they were demanding that the county commissioners remove him. It just seems to be an odd thing where we're getting into this business of removing elected officials. You know, and we had a bill a few years ago that I thought was a better way of going, with where you have an ME, a medical examiner, appointed, and then each county would have a separate deputy, a coroner, that was appointed by the ME. Was there any discussion of actually fixing the coroner system or just this a bigger fix? Because this doesn't seem to get to that issue of someday we need to just get to a medical examiner system. I still think it's odd that we elect coroners.
Minority Whip Burt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to answer my colleague's question, we did have an extensive discussion upon this. And the medical examiner option did come up in those. However, it was the purview of the committee to keep within the grounds of the bill and stay with the current system. There are some things in this. This only addresses a part of the problem that you enumerated. We understand that there are more parts, but feeling that we're bound by one subject per bill, we could only take care of one set of rules at a time, recognizing that there is much more work to do this. My personal preference on this would, and in the discussions, was to go to a medical examiner. But this is where we are, and this is what improves the situation for this position and adds some accountability. In reference to your individual who was asked to resign his position, the certification is required to perform these duties. Even if you've taught the class, you must hold an active, accredited certification to be in this position. It was a choice of an individual, and it happened more than once, to not participate in that recertification. Upon that choice to not recertify makes you ineligible to perform the duties as a coroner. So at that point, the county commissioner has no choice to remove you or at least limit your abilities to perform the duties of a coroner. And in the cases enumerated, they had to bring in certified coroners from other parts of the state to perform those duties. Basically, on the bottom line of that, it's a liability issue at that because we start violating our own state statutes. What we need to do, and concur with what you said, is clean it up overall. This is a first step in that. So with that being said, I would hope for your favorable vote on this so we can move on. Thank you very much.
Vice Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just some quick follow-up on that to address. We've only had one instance in 20 years where we've had a coroner, deputy coroner, be sanctioned. There is the Administrative Procedure Act that needs to be followed. There have been some cases where some threats and some jargon have been thrown around that, we have the power to do this, but there's only been one time the board has recommended and started the process officially, and that was with a substance abuse problem of a deputy coroner. I did bring a medical examiner bill in 08, 09. We had good discussion. The body wasn't ready for it at that time. That has not been part of the discussion over the interim of moving to that system, even though I personally still feel that's the way to go for the time being. People like the county coroner system we have, and this further refines that if there ever were to be a problem, we have a remedy through the APA to solve it. But we don't have any problems that we know of right now that we've heard of in the interim. This was just part of a packet of bills that we were assigned by Management Council to address these issues and tighten up our laws.
Minority Whip Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sensing the lateness of the hour, I call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Vice Chairman Zwanitzer.
Oops.
My apologies. My apologies. Representative Blickley.
Gentlemen and ladies, I'd like to point out one thing. During the whole year that we worked on this process, it was done in conjunction with the coroners who requested these changes to help police themselves.
Is there any further discussion on the bill? Question being called, all those in favor of Vice Chairman Zwanitzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 18 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. House Bill 18 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 25. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 25, submitted by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to embalmers, funeral directors, undertakers, and crematories, creating the Board of Funeral Service Practitioners, providing for regulation of funeral service practitioners and establishments, providing for licensure, providing for fees, providing penalties, providing for regulation of disposition of human remains, and providing for an effective date.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Madam Speaker Pro Tem Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the House, when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 25 do pass. And ladies and gentlemen, you know that this is heavy weight that we're going to be dealing with here. I have my co-chairman, Zwanitzer, and Representative Petroff that are going to help me with the bill. So what I'd like to do first is to dispense with the Standing Committee Amendment, and so I will move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 25 and ask for your favorable consideration. The change that we'd like to propose to you is on page 42, line 7. And what we're doing is deleting funeral from the term of insurance and inserting pre-need funeral contracts as authorized by license. This way, it's a particular focus on the funeral aspect of things and not all insurances. If there are no questions, I would ask for a favorable aye.
You've heard the motion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. Question having been called, all those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Vice Chairman Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We did spend about 8 hours through three committee meetings on this bill. This is the second largest bill of the session after the budget, and so I would be pleased to spend 6 hours going through it if anyone would like. It was impressive in committee that we went through it page by page and only had that one amendment brought to us by a department. I think that shows how much work we put into this. It was interesting we had this bill on Halloween. What's even more interesting to me, I have Roadkill and now Funeral Service Practitioners Act. I'm developing a theme. Somehow I'll figure out how to do yaks this session as well. But quickly going to the bill before the Committee of the Whole Amendment. Page 1, just to remind the body, we really haven't updated these statutes in any substantial way since 1920. And so it's impressive we've spent 90-some years with the Funeral Service Practice Act, but ways of chemical dispositions especially have changed over time, and that's why we're bringing a Practice Act back to you that is supported by the practitioners that we've worked with extensively. So page 1 through 7 are just definitions of what a funeral service practitioner is, what constitutes human remains, what a funeral establishment is, who can run them. Moving on to page 9, we have privileges for schools in Wyoming to have bodies donated to science, and we heard in committee that we do have two bodies donated to one of our community colleges for the nursing program. We then, through pages 10 through 12, have the composition of the board. Nothing too major changes here. The powers and duties of how they're appointed, how they conduct business. Moving on, we have how to investigate suspicious deaths on page 15 through 18. Limitations of practice. Moving on, we have more information through 21 through 23 on reciprocity, how we establish funeral services. We spent a lot of time on pages 22 and 23. I'd encourage you to read over those. That's really the heart of the bill on now that we have differences between coroners and funeral home owners and then funeral practitioners, people who conduct services. We're delineating all of their responsibilities further in law on education requirements, on what it takes to run a funeral home, certifications. In the 30s, basically we have reciprocity again, how you get an out-of-state license if you move to Wyoming, who can acquire a license, what the training they have to go through. Page 36 is on renewal of licenses. Page 37 is on prohibited conduct of licenses and what you may do with a license. Page 40 relates back to how we ascertain a cause of death and how you have to prepare bodies for transportation. Exemptions from the Act are on 41 and 42. We do have some new provisions on 42 and 43 when it comes to crematory operation. We're just putting some safety in our laws now that who can operate a crematorium, that they have to be inspected every year, what the process is by the board to certify these facilities. We do have 14 of them in the state right now. And the board acts in conjunction with which region they operate in, on which board member goes and inspects these facilities. They have to keep records are on page 45 and 46. 47 is just how you conduct a crematorium. Then we have our basically removal sections on page 48 and 49, what you have to do with human remains, containers, et cetera, proper disposal and that fall within accepted guidelines of what we would probably call morality, standards of care. That, and then we have penalties are on 50 and 51. Again, then we're repealing everything on page 51 in section 2. Those were old statutes. You'll see they're all 33, 16, 101 through 409. We've rewritten most of those in some way, shape, or form. Section 3 goes through the former Board of Embalming and brings them into what is now the Funeral Services Board. The bill is effective July 1st. We spent extensive time in committee. I'd be happy to talk about any section in depth. There really is some interesting stuff. But seeing nobody getting up to the mic, I think we have a Committee of the Whole amendment. that I will turn over to the good sponsor.
Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. Ask for your favorable consideration. This amendment is on page 5 in the definitions section. Inadvertently, we listed under definitions for the funeral director that a funeral director can only be somebody who was licensed before July 1st, 2014. That's certainly not what we meant. We would have no new funeral directors. What we meant to do was say that they could be licensed before July 1st, 2014, or meet the new requirements of the new funeral service practitioner's license. So this is just correcting that language. It's not a substantive change.
We are on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Madam Speaker Pro Tem Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill Number 25 do pass, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 25 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 38. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 38 is introduced by Representative Barlow, an act relating to taxidermists, requiring licensure, repealing interstate game tag requirements for taxidermist services, requiring maintenance of records, and providing for an effective date.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harvey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill Number 38 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, and I will turn the explanation of both of those over to the gentleman from the Land of the Camels.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, before you is House Bill 38, Taxidermy Licenses. If I could, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to dispense with the explain the amendment and then dispense with it. What this did is address a concern that was brought up during the introduction. This actually does say that you're only going to be, these records are going to pertain to the things that are actually there for taxidermy purposes. The second part of the amendment, the Standing Committee Amendment, makes this immediate effectively. Why that is important is so that the agency can get on with rulemaking, so that this can be in effect, rules can be in effect before the majority of the taxidermy season takes place. So with that, I would respectfully ask for the amendment to be adopted.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. All those in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, after a coroner's bill, a funeral service bill, and now a taxidermist bill, what else is there to say? I did bring an expert witness in case we need any testimony. And by their, what they told me before I came up was nothing about this bill stinks. So, As we go through the bill, this is a very simple bill. This is about giving taxidermists an opportunity to participate in their trade, in their artistry, levels the field with the other states around us, gives them some latitude with the licensing and identification requirements, and still allows the game and fish to safeguard the wildlife resources of this state. With that, I would be glad to answer any questions regarding this bill.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise, I do so with the recommendation that House Bill Number 38 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. House Bill 38 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 8. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill Number 8, as submitted by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to district courts, eliminating specified court reporter fee, and providing for an effective date.
Chairman Giegrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 8 do pass. And I turn over the explanation to the good representative from the Salt River Range. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a bill to eliminate the $45 court reporter fee that was paid to the district court. We heard testimony in July that sometimes this fee was a deterrent to getting a reporter in a civil case. Justice Burke noted that a number of cases were dismissed by the Supreme Court because there was no adequate transcript. At our July meeting, the court reporters there urged us to eliminate the $45 fee. And it's very simple. We acceded to their request, and the district courts will see about a $30,000 decrease in revenue, but hopefully we can get more court reporting done, especially now that real-time reporting is being accomplished in this state and that we have more civil proceedings that are actually recorded. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise in to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Bill Number 8 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 8 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our Majority Floor Leader Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion on the floor. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The motion carries.
Reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole having under consideration bills on general file beg to leave report as follows. House Bill 83, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill Number 32, recommended do pass. House Bill 70, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 3, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 18, recommended do pass. House Bill 25, amended as follows, and further amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 38, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 8, recommended do pass.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations, Representative Baker. Very good job. On that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 33, Jury Pool Selection, Archaic Language, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingrey, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, and Watt, signed by Representative Gingrey, Chairman.
We're now at that order of business of reading, introduction, reading, and reference of bills.
The last bill for our consideration is House Bill 179.
House Bill number 179 is presented by Representative Hutchings, and Act Relating to Public Education.
First reading of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Smooks.
Wait.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, that was the first reading of the bill. Representative Hutchings.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 179 and ask for your favorable consideration. I'd like to read something first before I get into the bill. This bill is not stating that you cannot collect student data. It states that the students and or the parents' permission must be given. In the debate over education, I believe there are four critical points to be made that will revolve around the same principle of self-governance. Here are the points. We, the people, have the primary duty to educate our children, and we have delegated certain limited powers to government to help us in our duty. The state is not spending their money on education. We, the people, are spending our money on education. The children enrolled in public education are not children of the state. They are children of the parents. So with this, with that, I'd like to have you guys approve.
Anyone, 1 minute rebuttals. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'm not speaking against the bill. I have a quick question, and it has to do with how we allow minors that don't have the ability to consent, how can they consent? And maybe you work that out in your bill, but that would be my quick question.
Any other 1 minute rebuttals? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I think the concept is really excellent. I'm a little concerned about whether we've gotten the school districts and all involved. If I look at keeping it for 20 years, my local school district might end up with maybe 400,000 sheets of paper, I think there's some things that need to really be worked out conceptually, maybe for an interim topic.
Representative Hutchins, 30 seconds.
Great questions, and we already got some friendly amendments on the collection of the data. So we have those in work already, so there won't be reams of paper sitting around in the school. Again, we're just asking that the parents of the minors or students that are able give their consent when their data is collected. Data is private property, and its use and permission must be granted.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow. Berger. Blake. Blevins. Blickrey. Brown. Burkhart. Byrd. Campbell. Kennedy. Coleman. Coleman. Coleman excused. Connolly. Davison. Eklund. Esquivel. Filer. Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, excused, Green, Halverson, Harshman,
excused,
Harshman, excused, Harvey,
excused, Harvey,
Hunt,
excused,
Hunt, excused, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Mater,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters, Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Filer, no to aye. Are there any other changes? Patton, aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 45-aye, 11-no, 4 excused.
House Bill 179, receiving sufficient votes for introduction, shall be referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. We're at that order of the day of special orders and committee announcements. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number one will meet Monday on noon recess to take up House Bill 175, Transfer on Death Deed, House Bill 127, Disclosure of Juvenile Probation Information, House Bill 128, Juvenile Court Sanctions, and House Bill 158, Indecency.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet Monday, February 17th, 10 minutes upon adjournment, where we will continue hearing House Bill 73, and we've added some more. We will hear House Bill 120, House Bill 99, and House Bill 173.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet in room H18 at 8 a.m. Monday morning to consider House Bill 35, Select Committee on Transfer of Public Land, and House Joint Resolution Support of Taiwan.
Vice Chairman Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet Monday, February 17th, upon adjournment, room 204, to address House Bill 172, Impact Assistance to Local Governments, and House Bill 42, School Facilities Appropriations.
Chairman Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, TRW, will meet Monday morning at 8 o'clock to finish House Bill 102, Sage-Grouse Implementation Team, and go over House Bill 140, Complementary Hunting Licenses, Persons with Disabilities.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 3, Exemption Revenue, is going to be meeting on Monday at 7:30. In the morning, Monday's February 17 in room H11, and we're going to discuss House Bill 154, Exemption for Gratuities, House Bill 135, Small Business Investment Credit Number of Employees, House Bill Number 63, Rolling Stock Exemptions, House Bill 65, Sales and Use Tax Exemptions, and House Bill 69, Fuel Tax, Natural Gas, if time permits. Thank you.
Chairman Sumlich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, will meet Tuesday, February 18th at 7 a.m. in room H11 to hear House Bill 52, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, House Bill 152, Water Research, House Bill 79, Critical Access Hospital Endowment Challenge Program, House Bill 149, Correctional Industries, and House Bill 178, Computer Trespass.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mea culpa, I picked up the wrong standing committee notice and read it just as it was printed, except I had the wrong day. We will meet on Monday morning at 8 o'clock in room H18, but we will consider House Bill 91, Real Estate Loan Limitations, and House Bill 147, Infrastructure Authority Energy Transmission.
Chairman Berger, Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet on Monday upon noon recess. We will hear House Bill 96, Professional Assistance Programs, House Bill 19, Notary Fees, House Bill 20, Fire Prevention and Electrical Safety Fees, and House Bill 47, Government Royalty Revenues Definitions.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will have a brief meeting directly following adjournment today in room 302, and anyone else that would like to join us, we're going to watch a short video on the Complete College America program. And, Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, will meet Monday, February 17th, upon adjournment in 302 for consideration of House Bill 97, House Bill 114, and House Bill 124.
Committee number 12 will meet Tuesday, February 18, 2014, upon adjournment in room 302 to discuss House Bill 37, the Revisor's Bill, House Bill 36, Constituent Service Allowance, House Bill 89, Constituent Allowance, Large Legislative District, House Bill 62, General Procedures for Licensure Boards, House Bill 123, Unified Administrative Code Database, and any proposed rule changes. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Great work today. Thank you, everyone. I think we took a lot of pressure off next week. General file for Monday is as follows. House Bill 61, 43, 11, 23, 21, 53, 54, 30, 48, 35, House Joint Resolution 1, House Bill 86, and such others as may come up the first of the week. Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until Monday, February 17 at 10 a.m.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House is adjourned until Monday, February 17, 2014 at 10 a.m. Good work today, everyone.